Welcome to the Home Abroad podcast. I'm thrilled to have two amazing guests with us today. Jen, who's an expat who left her sunny home in Guatemala to settle in lovely Germany. And Yvonne, her partner and an expert in all things German. They've created a fantastic YouTube channel and website filled with tips and advice for expats who are making the move to Germany. In this episode, Jen and Yvonne share their top tips for making the most of your new life in Germany. From finding the perfect apartment to navigating notoriously tricky German bureaucracy. We'll be diving deep into the essentials of settling into your new home, and I guarantee you'll learn something new today. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we explore the most important things you need to do when you arrive in Germany. Let's imagine an expat has just arrived in Germany. What's the first thing they must do in their first week or two?
I think it's very important to actually set a baseline because everyone's condition is very different when they arrive to Germany. So for the purpose of keeping things simple, we will pretend that it's someone that has a job and it's not from the EU.
Yeah, of course.
And then depending if you're from the EU or not, then you can adjust things.
Certain things are easier.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. So the first thing. If they're employed and they are not European, what's the first thing they need to do?
The first thing to do actually doesn't matter where you're from or whether you have a job or not. You have to do it. And that is actually register your address. So it's called in German, the Anmeldung. And obviously, it's not the first thing to do on day one, but you need to do it in your first 14 days by law.
Yeah.
Now, if you do it in the first 3 weeks, also still fine. But the reason why we always emphasize that it is so important to really have that as your number one thing to achieve is because that city registration of registering yourself as a German resident really triggers a lot of snowballs that help you in settling into Germany. Yeah. Because then you're entering the system. And yes, you do want to be in the system because you need to be in order to achieve other things. That's why that is so really important.
Obviously, you need to have an address.
Yes.
So I guess for a lot of expats, finding a place to live when you get to Germany can probably be tricky.
It is. Yeah. And it highly depends on what stage you're on your life. For us, we typically talk about employees in that sense. And what we've observed and what we also say might be the easier path is to start with a short-term apartment. For example, from Housing Anywhere. And we really do have also community members, we call them smoothlers, who get back to us who exactly take that path and it works well. Finding a short-term apartment that allows you to register, it's very important that needs to be like a filter because you need a certain document. The German word is Wohnungsgeberbestätigung. And you need that piece of paper, but that piece of paper needs to be given to you from your landlord. And only with that, you can actually do the registration. Plus, of course, your passport and other documents, which we list on our website. But that's why, for example, you can't just live in a hotel.
Yeah.
And also not all Airbnb owners provide that document. Some do, but by far not all. So that's the easiest way to take that step. And with the registration, with the Anmeldung, for example, you start getting a credit score in Germany, which is called the Schufa, which then again, you will need to actually get a long-term apartment later down the line.
The Anmeldung and Schufa report are two things that have come up, I think, in nearly every interview I've had when it comes to living and moving to Germany, because it is so important to register as soon as you get there, pretty much. So if you are planning to move to Germany and you want to kind of have the weight of finding a place to live off of your shoulders, Housing Anywhere operates fully in English and you can book your accommodation without having seen it or without being in the country. So you can book your accommodation in advance, whether you want a short-term or a long-term accommodation. It just helps you hit the ground running and then you can get straight into registering your Anmeldung as opposed to spending the first 2 weeks looking for a place to live.
Totally.
And then having to do your Anmeldung really quickly. You can get that stuff sorted before you head over. So definitely take a look at Housing Anywhere and see if you can get a place before you actually land in Germany.
Going in line with what you just said, a hot tip is that if you do find a short-term accommodation before you land in Germany, you can definitely schedule your Anmeldung appointment beforehand. Because usually these appointments tend to take some time depending on the city that you're moving to. If you can already schedule it from your home country, for example, then you already know first 2 weeks or 2 weeks after you land, you definitely have an appointment secured.
So that was actually going to be my next question was how long does it usually take to get an appointment? But I didn't even realize that you could schedule it in advance. That's deadly.
You need to, yeah. And from our experience, at least here in Düsseldorf, where we are based, the appointments usually get opened 2 to 3 weeks in advance. So you don't really, you can't really do it that much earlier.
Okay.
But you can maybe do it in your last week before you leave. And you have to be persistent to get that appointment because obviously they're also not, there's not an abundance of them.
Yeah.
But it's possible. We recently did it ourselves after we moved. And on a Sunday afternoon was a noonish was the best time to actually find open appointments to book, not to go, but like to find it online.
Okay, so book it on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, that's
good. At least that was our real life experience.
Yeah. And then I presume they're just open Monday to Friday.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you can, they're open Monday to Friday, and then you would advise booking on an afternoon, booking on a Sunday afternoon.
That is just what we experienced in Düsseldorf. We cannot say whether that works anywhere else in Germany.
It's worth a try. It's worth a shot.
It's either early mornings, just keep on pretty much try everything that is available, and at some point you'll find an appointment.
Yeah, of course. Because it's kind of like booking flights, isn't it? Like the prices for flights vary depending on the day that you book them. So yeah, good advice. Book on a Sunday afternoon if you can. And if you're also able to try and book your Anmeldung in advance of actually going to Germany, it will save you a lot of hassle. So then one of the other really important priorities when you're moving to any new country is figuring out what kind of insurances you need. Specifically in Germany, what kind of insurances do you guys recommend expats get?
So I think there are two. I would say there's one mandatory insurance that you need to have regardless of anything, and that is a health insurance.
Yeah.
So a lot of actually internationals, when they move to Germany, they have what is called an expat insurance or an income insurance is the other one, right?
Oh, travel insurance.
Travel insurance, which allows you to apply for the visa. However, when you are in Germany, you need to have, let's call it proper, in air quotes, health insurance, which is actually an insurance that allows preventative care and other aspects that is provided by a German company. And these you can choose between a private health insurance or a public health
Choosing
insurance.
Choosing is not an option.
Yeah, there are some caveats, of course, but those are the two available.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a complicated topic, and I think that's an episode in its own.
It's quite in-depth.
Yes. However, we have in our website, we have a detailed guide comparing both. So that is the mandatory insurance. Everyone needs to have by law health insurance in Germany. And then another one that a lot of newcomers here, a lot of Germans say it's the private liability insurance, which in German, you can pronounce it better than I can.
Haftpflichtversicherung.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And that one, it's actually very recommended to get because 80% of Germans have it, which means the example that I got both from Yvonne and a lady at the bank is that let's say you cause an accident or you hurt someone's property. Mm. In Germany, you are expected, obviously, to cover the cost of whatever damage you cause. And a lot of the times, actually, if it's a really big accident, the damage might make you bankrupt because it's in the thousands or even sometimes hundreds of thousands of euros. So that's where private liability insurance kicks in, which is super inexpensive. I would say it's as cheap as a monthly beer. I think some contracts are as cheap as €3.50, which is not bad. Yeah, so definitely a very high, recommended insurance. Not a mandatory one, but it gives you peace of mind, I would say.
And then, I mean, we are in the land of insurances. This can go on and on and on so much so that we actually also have a guide and a video on the must-haves versus the nice-to-haves. Because depending on if you have a car, of course, you need an insurance for that mandatory.
Car insurance,
So it goes on a little bit on the living circumstances. If you have a dog, you also need liability for the dog. It goes on and on, but that's why we go more detail into the musts and the nice-to-haves, depending on your living situation and depending, you know yourself best, what situations you are prone to getting into or how much security you like or not. Because at the end of the day, if you want insurances, you're in the country of heaven to get them. But don't feel like you need to. Those two Jen just discussed are very wise to have, and the rest is really more of a lifestyle choice. How about that?
Yeah. So then I guess really the baseline, obviously everyone needs healthcare. Everyone needs health insurance. That's mandatory in a lot of European countries. But the private liability insurance is something I've never heard of before. So it's, but also sounds really affordable. And it's like, why wouldn't you get it in that case? So private liability insurance is a new one for me. Interesting. I feel like I should get that myself here. I'm lethal.
I don't know. I think it depends because maybe there are countries that have private liability insurance, but the citizens or the residents don't have it. There's a low chance of actually using it. But in a place like Germany, where I mentioned like over 80% of Germans have such an insurance, that just sets the tone of they expect people to have it. So in case of emergencies or, like I said, something dramatic happens, you're covered. I think a lot of the people, the reason why internationals don't get it is because they maybe A, don't understand why it's important, and B, they've just never heard about it before.
On both our websites, on Simple Germany and on Housing Anywhere, we've got articles about health insurance in Germany. So if you want a bit more detail, definitely check out those articles. I can link them in the description. Just have a look at them if you need a bit more information. We could probably do a full podcast, hour-long podcast episode on health insurance and insurances alone. But just as a top tip, you definitely need health insurance. You will need to probably transfer your travel insurance to health insurance once you get to Germany. And then private liability insurance is a new one. I'm also going to look into getting that in the Netherlands because I feel like I could, I feel like I should have that. Not even that I thought I should.
You should.
Okay. So once you get to Germany, you get your Anmeldung, you have your health insurance, you need to switch your visa into a residence permit. How quickly after arriving should you be switching your visa to a permit?
I would say you should aim for an appointment as soon as possible because the Ausländerbehörden, so the immigration offices, they are a little bit in a backlog currently. So getting that appointment for whatever the soonest appointment is, and that is mostly month, that's the main first task. Because once you have that appointment, you have something to work with and you can kind of like plan your life around this, right? The visa typically is, if you're from outside the EU, is typically valid for 90 days if it's a regular entry visa. So the aim is to get an appointment to get a residence permit within those 90 days.
I recently heard that there's like a quite a big delay in getting this appointment. Yeah. Have you guys heard about this as well? And has it like stopped people from getting their permits?
Stopped, no, but of course delayed. So I think it's a mix of COVID and that employees were moved within government offices. Of course, the Ukrainian refugees are obviously influxing a lot as well. Not just Ukraine, also other countries. And all of that, I would say at least the part of the government that is responsible for it is not equipped the best at the moment. We only hope that, of course, that bottleneck gets solved at some point, but we don't know. So what's happened is the people we are in touch with that communicate with us, they all get an appointment. They need to be a little bit more persistent. And sometimes, yeah, it's beyond the 90 days, but of course, they are allowed to stay. They don't get kicked out in that sense. It's just that in between, you should ideally probably not leave Germany. So you need to know about that so you can plan your life around it. That's what I meant in the beginning. So it's possible. It's just patience. And you really need to work for that appointment in the beginning and be persistent.
So as soon as you get to Germany, you really should be trying to plan that appointment and move your life a little bit around that appointment just to make sure that you're really confident in your position. That's really good. It's good that people will not have to delay getting their permits. They'll still be able to stay in Germany. They won't get kicked out or anything.
It's all case by case, right? Yes. And we are not immigration lawyers.
Yeah. And I would say we've also heard from the other perspective that some people haven't gotten it on time and out of frustration, they decide to leave Germany based on their own choice. So we cannot say for everyone, it has always worked out.
Okay. So residence permit, get your appointment as quick as possible. There might be a bit of a delay, but you'll be able to work around that delay most of the time. But also it will vary city to city, depending on the amount of expats, depending on the influx.
Absolutely.
But just be persistent in getting your appointment. I think that's in the world, in life in general, just be persistent with appointments and you'll eventually get one,
yes.
Even if it's just your GP.
Yes.
You got your appointment for your residence permit. You're preparing for your life in Germany. One of the most important steps is setting up a bank. Yeah. Is it necessary to open a bank account when you arrive in Germany?
Yes, I would say yes, because having a bank account allows multiple things. For example, receiving your salary, which is pretty important. Yeah. Also, some providers ask you for your bank details, either for you to be able to make payments, because direct debit, it's a super popular way of actually how contracts work in Germany. It's very rare that you find a provider that you are able to wire the amount. So a bank account is super important for sure. And of course, opening hours on a branch bank tend to be very funky, just like in Ireland and other parts in Europe. An important thing also to point about the banks in Germany, unfortunately, is that the nationality really matters into what options you have available. So there are very traditional banks. For example, the most popular that come to mind are Sparkasse, Volksbank. A lot of people throw around these names. However, one caveat with these banks is that they're very traditional and they're city linked. So if you, for example, open a bank account in Berlin with Sparkasse and then you move to the amazing city of Dusseldorf, it's like a whole completely different bank. You cannot access certain services. You cannot transfer money.
You can do your online banking, but you cannot go to a Sparkasse branch in Dusseldorf and have the same services.
Yeah.
Plus, they have also weeks of wait time to get an appointment to open an account. That's why we refrain from talking about them, because for us, they just don't match the modern world we live in anymore.
Yeah. So actually, we just released very recently, we call it Banky, and it's a dynamic form that you can fill out. And based on your nationality and other criteria, for example, if you've already done your city registration, if you have your residence permit, it filters out the banks that you can apply for. You can check this out at simplegermany.com/Banky. Banky is like bank, but with a Y at the end. Because some, for example, countries like Costa Rica, as an example, all the modern banks, let's say in air quotes, don't accept Costa Rican passports. It's a very limited amount of banks versus other countries like Argentina. They have a door open for banks. So it highly depends on nationality and their internal processes of why they accept certain nationalities and not
others. So it seems like it's quite tricky then to actually figure out which bank you can go with and which bank you should go with. So I'm going to link the Banky forum because I think it will be really helpful for expats going to Germany. It sounds like it's honestly more complicated than I thought it would be to set up a bank.
It depends highly, like Jen said, on where you're from. And yeah. if you're from Ireland, no problem. Like you really have the choice. First in our guide, we were like listing and comparing the features of the bank and whether they're free and what options they have and consumer focused. But then we realized, you know what, all of these benefits really don't matter if your nationality doesn't allow you to open an account there. So how about we first determine which ones are even available to you? And once you know that, you can see, first of all, do I have a choice or is it just one or two? And if I have a choice, then I can look at the features and see which one suits me better. I'm guessing this. I have no data, but from a gut feeling, 20% have issues in terms of not being accepted. 80% get accepted by more than two banks. So it's really not the majority, but since we're here welcoming everyone in the world, we just want to voice it that sometimes maybe you are not accepted and it's not against you, that's against your passport. This is an industry where, amazingly enough, there is several providers out there that offer the service in English, which that is already amazing. And even if sometimes, let's say, for example, with Commerzbank, which is like the only traditional bank that is still free and has a lot of things in English, the sign up is still in German. We help out with that. But it exists, you know, whereas there are other also insurances, there are providers in English. There are other areas where, which we'll touch later, that it doesn't exist. It's just in German. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. So it's kind of the same thing here that there's so many like bureaucratic things that are not in English. And I understand it because it's not the native language of this country, but you don't really know what you're getting into at the time. For it to not be your first language and trying to sign up to administrative and bureaucratic things, it can be a bit of a mind boggle. So also, if you have German friends, reach out to them, ask them for help. I find at least my Dutch friends are really helpful with these kind of things.
Yeah, even your employer, like your supervisor, because sometimes you might not have friends yet at this stage.
Yeah.
So just don't be shy to ask for help. Yeah.
Yeah. Ask for help. Reddit is also a great place to ask for help. I love Reddit.
That's true. I don't know if I would upload my contract there, but at least some text, of course.
You can recruit some help there. Yeah, maybe don't upload any official documents to Reddit, actually. Disclaimer, don't upload official documents.
But it's a great community there in Reddit for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Really helpful. So one thing that you mentioned earlier was that there's a really big delay to get a bank account. Is this year round?
No, a delay. There is no delay in getting a bank account.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe what I was referring to, that the opening hours of the banks, if you want to go to a branch, they have funky opening hours. And that in very traditional banks like the Sparkasse, they take actually months to give you an appointment to open the bank account.
2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, 2 or 3 weeks.
In traditional banks, it can take weeks to months, like Sparkasse.
The banks we list, they are all more or less easy to open if you get accepted.
I would say all of the ones that we list, you can do it online. So you don't need to go to a physical location to book an appointment to open a bank account. You can do it immediately from your computer with the internet.
That's very good. When I was moving here, there was a really big delay. Only in September, because a lot of international students are trying to get their banks. So you were talking like weeks and weeks, like 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
To
get
an appointment. And because you have to go in and show your passport. Even I had to do it. I had to go in and show my passport before I could open the account.
To verify your identity.
Even a European citizen.
Well, you do still have to show your passport no matter where you're from to identify yourself. Yeah?
Yes. Here in Germany, you need to verify your identity before the account is open. And a lot of them provide ID Now, it's called. And it's really like a video call with your phone. But additional to that, Commerzbank, which is a traditional bank that we also recommend there, you can go and identify yourself, but you don't need an appointment for that.
Yeah.
So you can just show up at the branch and just do it there.
Yeah. Awesome. So I guess the main tip I have, or the main tip we've collected here for banking, is to actually go onto Simple Germany's website and use the Banky form to figure out what bank you need. And if you want more information on banks in general, you guys definitely have content on it. We have content on it. So there's plenty of resources out there to find out more information. Definitely check it out. One question I have on a more personal note, because I am a big Revolut advocate. I love Revolut.
Okay.
Because I think N26 is quite big in Germany as well.
Yes.
Is it possible to use an online bank as your main bank, or should you set yourself up with a proper bank?
Totally possible. I mean, N26, like you said, is, I'd say, the kind of like the leader in mobile and international, like English speaking banking in Germany. And works perfectly fine as a main day-to-day account. And then down the line, maybe have a second one. I always recommend not just having one just because of managing your finances a little bit.
Yeah.
And Revolut exists also in Germany. And to be honest, is the savior for certain nationalities because it sometimes is the only option. It doesn't have a German IBAN, like a German banking number per se.
Yeah. Okay.
But it is a European one, which works well enough. And then okay. once you have, let's say, your residence permit, because sometimes you do need that to open then a Commerzbank account, for example, then after you've been here a few months, got that residence permit, then you have more options.
I would say that N26 by far is the most popular online banking and Revolut. And there's a few competitors. There's Vivid Money, there's Tomorrow and Revolut.
Yeah.
And they share a little bit the same market share. So they're not as popular, but people use them.
Yeah.
One of the most important steps, especially if you're working from home, is internet. So whether you need it for work or study or just keeping in touch with home, everyone's going to need internet. What is the process of setting up internet in Germany?
As Ivan mentioned before, internet and mobile SIM providers, they're the one industry, which I still don't understand until today, the one industry that they have no information in English. Everything you see online is in German, which I still don't understand why. So because of that, they tend to be a little bit more intransparent for us non-native German speakers because it's very overwhelming. It seems like there's 1,000 options. It's very confusing at times.
Not just for non-German speakers. German it's a very intransparent market in Germany per se. How about that?
But once you figure it out, it's pretty easy actually to get internet. I would say one thing that is different, for example, from my home country, Guatemala, is that depending on whether the line needs to be installed in your new home or whatnot. Because let's say you have a house and it has a certain internet provider line, but you hire a different one, they need to adapt that line to themselves.
Okay.
That might take some weeks to get the appointment for that to happen, for example. Okay.
But so it highly depends. We've had the case here. We need a different line in the new apartment that we moved in. And that appointment happened in 5 days.
Yes, that was quite fast. However, from past experience, I've had to, before when I was single, like this is also years ago, right? I had to wait like 2 or 3 weeks for the appointment.
So it highly depends. But let's just say every place that you live in will have an internet option. The question is just if it's sufficient for you. And in case you want to upgrade and there is a chance to upgrade, then there might be a technician that needs to come. But typically, there is internet available. You just need to sign up a contract, which you can do online. And then it's more or less fast, not instantaneous, but like within 24 hours.
So let's say if you choose a network where the line hasn't already been installed, then it could take a little bit longer.
Yes.
But if you choose a network where the line is the same network, then it is a bit quicker.
And online, the pages, the providers, they tell you whether it's available immediately or not.
Yeah.
And then they typically ship you a router and you just need to plug it in and then typically it should work.
Yeah. Typically, yeah.
Typically.
Usually.
I think utilities is one of the trickiest things I found, at least. I got such a lucky start when I came over here. I came into my apartment, everything was set up. And now I'm looking at places and it's like, oh, utilities aren't included. And by the way, they're going to be like another 250 euros. It's just such a hassle to get set up. If you want to avoid the hassle of setting this up yourself or you need an internet connection ASAP if you're planning to work from home or just stay in contact with your family, Housing Anywhere, you can look for properties with bills included.
Oh,
and those properties are usually also furnished. So you can pretty much get there and just start living straight away and not have to worry about setting these things up. But it's also particularly helpful if you're only planning to live in Germany temporarily. So just something to keep in mind so that when you get there, you don't have to deal with the internet debacle.
Adding to that, short-term rental through Housing Anywhere is not only because you can do your Anmeldung faster, let's say, and it's easier to get a place. But like you said, it just makes your arrival so much easier and more comfortable because like I said, you have furniture, you have internet, you don't have to worry about electricity and you can just arrive, start your job, get to know your new area, your city, the culture and be like excited about it. We have enough things to take care of already. And let's say after 2, 3, 4 months, when you've started to settle in a little bit, then you can look for a, let's say, more permanent place if you're staying longer that is most likely unfurnished. And then tackling buying furniture, figuring out your own utilities and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just easier to process, I would say, also in terms of time management.
Definitely a good idea to get some temporary accommodation just to settle into life there. And then when you decide that you want to stay a bit longer, you can still get long-term accommodation. Also on Housing Anywhere. You can still get long-term accommodation, but I think it is really good advice to get a short-term rental until you really settle into the place to get a feel for it. I know that some people came here and didn't enjoy their life straight away. And even after a few months, they weren't really warming up to it and they left, but they had a nightmare getting out of their contracts. It's actually really good advice to get some short-term accommodation feel the vibes, and then decide if you want to stay.
Yeah, also feel the vibes, feel the city.
Exactly, because you might think, oh, this neighborhood is super cool and you don't like it, or, you know, you can definitely explore a lot more and not be tied directly yet.
Whatever city you're planning to move to, we cover a lot of German cities, and on our website, we actually have neighborhood guides for those cities. So if you're unsure of what neighborhood, even just to temporarily live in, do check out those articles. I've also written some of those articles, so I really appreciate the views. But it's just really handy to get an idea as to what the areas are going to be like before you get there.
Totally.
Yeah, awesome. Guys, this has been so informative. Thank you so much. I feel kind of like I'm in the company of like famous people. Because you guys just have so much knowledge about Germany. You're really like the go-to for expats who are moving over. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. It was great to have you here. We covered everything in this episode, from Anmeldung to insurances to your residence permit, your bank, your internet. We've covered all bases, I think. So if there's any more questions you have, be sure to reach out to Simple Germany, or you can reach out to Housing Anywhere. And also check out our websites. We have plenty of information on every possible topic an expat moving to Germany could think of covering. And we'll definitely be able to help you make that journey a little bit easier. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us, Ellie.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you.
Guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining this episode of the Home Abroad podcast. Coming up in the rest of this season, we're going to talk about enrolling in university in Germany, how to get a job in Germany, and what it's like living with German housemates. If you want to keep up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe, and don't be afraid to give us 5 stars. It means a lot.